started the research on the development and evaluation of low phytate crops, and he's continued it to this day. He couldn't make it today. He was invited to give this talk. I'm a postdoc working in his lab, and I also am very interested in low phytate crops. I've worked on them in common bean for my master's degree and somewhat for my PhD as well. So I'm very happy to be here and talk about low phytic acid. Incidentally, here's a picture of Victor evaluating the first low phytate corn unit that was identified, OPA1 in corn. So phytic acid is a myo-inositol, and here we have on the left, you can see the structure of myo-inositol with six phosphate groups attached to it. And those phosphate groups are able to bind minerals such as potassium, calcium, magnesium, iron, and zinc. And when they bind those minerals, they form phytate salt. The phytic acid represents about 75% of the seed weight, of the total seed phosphorus, and 1 to 2% of the seed weight. The distribution of phytic acid in the seeds is dependent on the plant. In maize, for example, 80% is found in the germ, 20% in the aleuron, whereas it's the reverse in cereal grains with 20% in the germ and 80% in the aleurons. And in legumes, 95% is found in the cotyledons. So there's a strong applied interest in phytic acid because of its role in animal and human nutrition. Phytic acid binds tightly to mineral cations, including calcium, magnesium, iron, and to form phytate salts, as I mentioned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can. Is it working?
The microphone is not working. You can try it.
I'll just have to. Is it working? Can you hear me better?
I don't think the microphone is working.
I'll try to speak up a little bit. That's what I asked. So humans and non-ruminants, they cannot digest phytate. So the minerals and phosphorus associated with that, they're not bioavailable. So therefore, phytate-rich diets can contribute to significant mineral deficiencies in humans. So there are a number of approaches that have been taken, possibilities to address this phytic acid problem in seeds and food. Number one is some form of supplementation. So in seeds, we could supplement for the animals with an available form of phosphorus. Or in foods, there could be supplementation with minerals, iron, zinc, calcium supplementation. And in both feed and food, for both humans and animals, there could be the addition of the phytase enzyme, which is the enzyme to break down phytic acid. Another approach is the alternative preparation of food to make the nutrients more available, such as fermentation or different ways of preparing the food. Management of diet, such as having a diet rich in protein from animal sources. Another possible approach is the development of crops with heritable reductions in seed phytic acid, or the overexpression of phytase. Now, the overexpression of phytase is a very interesting area that is very important, but I'm going to focus on the development of crops with heritable reductions in seed phytic acid, because that is what Victor Ravoy has spent a large part of his career working on. And the development of low phytic acid crops really started via chemical mutagenesis screening, so a forward genetic screen for changes in seed inorganic phosphorus levels. So it's the high inorganic phosphorus phenotype that allows somebody to identify low phytic acid units, because phytic acid reductions are matched by substantial increases in inorganic phosphorus. And this this graph here shows the reduction. Oh yeah, thank you. So as you can see here, this graph shows the seed phosphorus fraction of a normal phytate grain, so a wild type grain, and a low phytic acid. The yellow represents the phytic acid phosphorus. In normal, there's about 75% of the phosphorus in the seed is phytic acid. A small portion is inorganic phosphorus, and then a small portion is cellular phosphorus. In the low phytic acid line, the reduction in phytic acid results in an increase in inorganic phosphorus. So this red bar here increases. And that there, this increase in inorganic phosphorus, provides a simple, accurate test to find low phytate mutants. And here's what the test actually looks like. It can be done on the single seed level, so measuring inorganic phosphorus.
The wild type here, shown in these first two rows, they have a white color because they have very little inorganic phosphorus. And you can identify mutants by the dark blue color and the elevated inorganic phosphorus levels. So low phytic acid, wheat, rice, barley, corn, and soybean have been identified. And the genotypes have been found who have greatly reduced seed phytic acid levels, but normal levels of total phosphorus. And mutants have been identified with phytic acid phosphorus reductions ranging from 35% to 95%. Now I'd like to go into the genetics, an overview of the genetics of phytic acid mutants that have been identified thus far. And first I'll start with maize. Maize low phytic acid lines, the first low phytic acid was identified in maize, that's LPA1, identified in 1991 by Victor Raboy, and the phytic acid reduction, 65%. The associated phenotype with that was an increase in inorganic phosphorus. The gene has recently been identified by Shi et al., published in Nature 2007, as an ABC transporter. And what the most likely function of this gene is, it moves phytic acid from the cytoplasm where it is produced into the embryo where it is stored. Other mutants in maize, LPA2, 50% reduction in phytic acid, associated phenotype, an increase in inorganic phosphorus, along with lower myo-inositol phosphate. So instead of 6 phosphate groups, phytic acid has possibly 5 or 4. This has also been identified as inositol polyphosphate kinase, and that is a gene in the synthesis pathway, so phytic acid synthesis. LPA3, also 50% reduction, and that's also a gene that is in the phytic acid synthesis pathway. In the case of barley, there are 4 mutants that are studied quite frequently by Raboy's lab because they offer a wide range in phytic acid reduction. Really, many more mutants have been isolated, but these range from 36% reduction in phytic acid all the way up to 99% reduction in phytic acid, with associated phenotypes including increased inorganic phosphorus, as would be expected with the selection tool, and increased lower inositol. Each of these have been mapped, but none of the genes have yet to be identified. And I'm a postdoc working in the lab, and I'm one of my projects, something I hope to make some progress on, is fine mapping of M635 and M955. They both map to a close region of chromosome 1 in barley, but they don't appear to be allelic, so hopefully we could map those a little bit more. And then in rice, there's a LPA1 that appears to be homologous to a 2-PGA kinase gene. Other low phytic acid lines have been identified in soybean. One in soybean, the gene is known that it's the MIPS gene, and that's the first gene in the phytic acid synthesis pathway, converting glucose to myo-inositol 1-phosphate. Other alleles are available in soybean as well. There's a wheat low phytic acid line that has a 37% reduction in phytic acid. And so each of these that I talked about here, each of these major crops have been identified by the forward genetic screen. And they offer great tools to use in human and animal nutrition studies. But we have all these major crops that can potentially can be used to look at how does low phytic acid affect feeding to animals, and how does it affect feeding of human. And we could do it with many different crops. And I believe also that there are common bean low phytic acid mutations out there, which is also valuable to have a legume, as well as field pea. And hopefully they will make it into literature soon. There are some Arabidopsis low phytic acid lines that have been identified by reverse genetic approaches. And they are both genes that are also in the synthesis pathway, their inositol polyphosphate kinases. So with that overview of the genetics, I'd like to move into what is known in the animal and human nutrition area. So there have been many animal nutrition studies where animals have been fed low phytic acid crops, wild type crops, and saw the results in phosphorus digestibility as well as mineral nutrition digestibility of other nutrients. So here I just have a few that I selected, the author, what crop was fed to the animal, in this case it's all different barley mutants, what was the percent reduction in phytic acid, a wide range of reductions, what animal was fed. There's also a wide range of animal models, turkey, rats, rainbow trout, chicks, swine, and what the major finding was. And in this case, first I'm just talking about improved phosphorus digestibility. And many of the findings you see an increase in phosphorus retention, increase in phosphorus digestibility, and also a reduction in phosphorus excreted. So let me just go into the one study in more detail. Now this study here is Spencer et al. 2000. This was the first study that looked at low phytic acid corn fed to pigs. Corn is a major food source for pigs. And this was the first study that found that low phytic acid increased the phosphorus availability for pigs. So what is shown here, in this study there were three treatments. There was pigs fed normal corn, low phytic acid corn, which had a 60% reduction in phytic acid, or monosodium phosphate, which is the most available form of phosphate. And they were fed that at three different levels. So their phosphorus intake all came from that source. And then the bone breaking load of the pigs was measured to determine phosphorus availability. And that's a very sensitive method to identify it. And what was found was that normal corn had a 9% phosphorus availability, low phytic acid corn 62%, and then the monosodium phosphate was the highest at 100%. So this was the first in many studies that have identified the importance of the value of low phytic acid corn for improving phosphorus bioavailability in animals. And the reason why there's the increase in phosphorus availability is because, and I showed a graph like this before, because what's happening is while the total phosphorus is staying the same, this yellow, which is the phytic acid phosphorus, that is decreasing, and in its place is inorganic phosphorus, and that inorganic phosphorus is much more available to be taken up, and therefore less is excreted because more is available. So the other aspect of animal nutrition studies is increased micronutrient absorption. And again, there have been many studies in animals that have looked at micronutrient absorption. And here I just point out a few studies done with different crops, different reductions in phytic acids, different animals, pigs, sheep, chicks, and findings, differences in calcium absorption, zinc retention increased, and increases in magnesium and iron digestibility. So let me just go through two studies on animal nutrition and micronutrient absorption. First, a study that looked at how low phytic acid barley affected tibia zinc concentration in chicks at 21 days of age. So in this study, there were two feeds. One was a wild type barley with normal phytic acid levels, and the other was low phytate barley, that was M955, and that had a 90% reduction in phytic acid. And then along with that treatment, there was three zinc supplementation levels, either zero added zinc, 10 milligrams per kilogram, or 20 milligrams per kilogram, seen here on the x-axis. And what was seen was here, this black is the low phytic acid barley. With zero zinc supplementation, the low phytic acid barley, the chicks fed that diet had very high tibia zinc. And whereas the wild type with zero supplementation, those chicks had much lower tibia zinc. And as the supplementation was added, the wild type with the normal phytate level, they benefited from the zinc supplementation clearly. Whereas those with the low phytate diet, there was no change. So this suggests that the low phytate barley diet was sufficient for the chicks. Supplementation was not needed in this diet. They were getting sufficient zinc. Another study looked at trout and calcium availability in barley. This one, there were three low phytic acid lines and the wild type. So first, let me tell you the differences in phytic acid. The wild type had 69% phytic acid. Incidentally, what's measured in this figure here, this is calcium what's measured, but over here we have the total phosphorus. 69% in the wild type, 40% phytic acid in M422, 18% phytic acid in M635, 1% in M955. So as the phytic acid levels decreased, the calcium absorption increased here, and that's shown here in this trout study. Another interesting, unexpected finding associated with low phytic acid crops was that animals, hens fed the low phytic acid crops actually had reduced cholesterol in the eggs. So this method has been patented, so feeding low phytic acid corn to reduce cholesterol. And this is seen as phytic acid decrease, total cholesterol also decreased at day 28 and day 140. So this here is an animal study, but it's an animal study that is directed toward human health. So directed toward the benefit of humans by changing the composition of cholesterol, reducing cholesterol in eggs. And so that brings me to the human nutrition studies. And there are definitely far fewer human nutrition studies that have been conducted as compared to the animal studies. And they're also smaller in scope. And I think basically all the studies that have been conducted, maybe I'm missing one or two, are up here on this slide. And they've all been conducted with maize. And the mutant has been LPA1, and in one case there's another mutant of maize that's called Nutrident. The phytic acid reductions in the studies have ranged from 50% to 80%. Like I said, they've all been pretty small scale. One case, 14 men, and short term as well, for breakfast for 2 days, 14 women, 12 days, 6 adults, 2 days, 5 women, 2 days. The largest study, they've measured iron and zinc and calcium. The largest study, published in 2006, was with 60 school children in Guatemala, and that was a 10-week study. And that study found no differences in zinc absorption for the low phytic acid versus the wild type maize. So the short-term studies, which I'll go into more detail in the short-term studies, they found benefit for humans in the low phytic acid. This study here, I guess it remains to be seen if it was, there really is no value for long-term zinc absorption, or if it was something in the experimental design. So let me go into detail in some of the short-term studies in human nutrition. First, this is the absorption of calcium from tortilla meals prepared from low phytate maize. And here there were 5 women. At 1 month intervals, they were given a diet for 2 days. So for breakfast for 2 days, they ate either wild type or low phytic acid 1, tortillas prepared from maize. And those 5 women, when fed the wild type, had reduced absorption of calcium as compared to the LPA1. So showing that there is potential for LPA1 in humans of increased calcium absorption. Second, looking at zinc fractional absorption for 2 maize low phytic acid genotypes. 6 healthy adults were in this study, and there were three lines involved. There was either normal phytic acid maize, low phytic acid 1 maize, which had a 60% reduction in phytic acid, and X-seed low phytate, that was an 80% reduction in phytic acid. And what was found was an increase in zinc fractional absorption as the phytic acid levels decreased. So, or as the grain phytate zinc molar ratio increased, the zinc fractional absorption decreased, showing that low phytate also has a value for zinc fractional absorption in humans in this short-term study. Another study was for iron absorption. This was done with 14 men, and they looked at the fractional iron absorption from tortillas. They ate this for 2 days, and there were 3 treatments here. It was either tortillas made from 100% wild type, so all normal phytate level, corn. Another one was half wild type, half low phytic acid corn, and 100% low phytic acid corn. And what was found was an increase in iron absorption from tortillas, specifically and only from the 100% low phytic acid corn. The 50% wild type, 50% low phytic acid, there was no difference. So this is different than other things that seem to demonstrate a dose response. And this here, it doesn't appear that there is a dose response in iron in this particular study. So there is a lot of research out there that says, well, it looks like low phytic acid crops have a benefit, have a potential benefit for animal nutrition and human nutrition. So why don't we all just eat low phytic acid food? Well, there's this other whole body of literature, huge body of literature, that looks at the value of phytic acid, especially in fighting cancer. And here I just point out 2 studies, and really there are many studies. In one case, there's a dietary influence on pancreatic cancer growth by inositol hexaphosphate. So two pancreatic cancer cell lines were grown and phytic acid was added to them. And what was seen was, over time, there was an increase in the reduction of cellular proliferation of these cancer cells with the addition of phytic acid. So phytic acid is having a positive effect in reducing cancer. Another one is a mouse skin tumor development suppression by inositol hexaphosphate. And here this shows the percent of tumor-bearing mice. And what was found was that over time, this here is the control, so no phytic acid, 100% of the mice are tumor-bearing, whereas with the addition of 100 micrograms to the skin, and this was added to this topical application, there's 40% of the mice have tumors. With 1 milligram added, 26% of the mice have tumors, and with higher levels, so 5 milligrams added, there's 6% have tumors. So now we see a dose response in the addition of phytic acid in suppressing cancer. So really, I think what needs to be considered when we're talking about phytic acid is what is actually the daily intake of phytic acid in the diet. And then maybe when we look at this, we see, well, low phytic acid definitely has a place. In the United States, we consume 750 milligrams of phytic acid a day on average. In Italy, Sweden, the average is about 200 milligrams a day. But then if we look at other places in the world, Guatemala, for example, they consume 2,000 to 3,000 milligrams of phytic acid a day. Nigeria, 2,000 milligrams a day. India, 1,500 to 2,500 milligrams a day. So there, that large amount of phytic acid in the diet is definitely having an impact on the mineral nutrition. So they could benefit. People in these places could potentially benefit from introduction of one or two low phytic acid crops. So in summary, I'd like to say that all the major grain crops have low phytic acid lines that have been identified and been studied genetically and also to some extent human and animal nutrition and human nutrition. There's significant progress that has been made in the identification of genes responsible for the low phytic acid phenotype, and numerous animal and human studies have shown a role for increased mineral absorption, low phytic acid diets. So that's all I have, and I'd be happy to take any questions. That's interesting. Possibly there might have been something. I don't know if it was the experimental design or what. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yes?
A question about just the agronomic characteristics, the yield, the seed stand, germination, all that. I know that in some cases there's decrease in that.
Yeah, I think.
How about the barley yield that you want to clone, for example? Is that
955, for example? That's one I'm interested in. That has 90% reduction. That is probably one of the worst in terms of germination and in terms of agronomic characteristics. But I think that's to be expected when you're working with a nutritional trait like this. And there are many different genes. As I have shown, you know, there's already been 5 or 6 different genes that have been identified. So I think some genes are probably going to be more, there might be a greater effect on the agronomic characteristics than others. And then perhaps it could be improved with breeding too, maybe putting it into different lines that might improve the situation and improve the agronomic characteristics. The consumption? What is the problem with consumption of high phytic acid? The problem with that is the minerals that are associated with phytic acid, the iron, zinc, calcium, those aren't digested. So people who consume those, they could have mineral deficiency.
Do you know the distribution of the phosphorus in the grain changes?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's been worked on a lot recently. There's a paper that just came out in Barley by Liu et al., and it's been dead in rice, and there is changes in distribution. In some of the, some lines in barley, the distribution moves, for example, from the, in barley, I think it moves from the embryo. There's a reduction in the embryo, but not a reduction in other parts. And it seems to be specific, like mutant specific. It's not like across the board for all the different mutants that you see the same thing, but there are differences.
So you reduce from 96 to 85, 94. Do those also have the same phytic acid activity? And let's say when they also have the antioxidant activity, so do they behave the same in the sense of the 85? I know it has some phytic acid activity, but I'm not sure how much. Mm-hmm. 94 does it have also?
I think it has reduced. It's not as strong. It doesn't bind as many minerals because it only has four, so it's easier to digest, more digestible than IP6.
So it's almost like a linear response, or?
I don't know if it's linear, but I think it's definitely less than IP6. As for the role in cancer, I don't know. I don't know if IP5 works just as well as IP6. I'm not sure about that.
Any more questions? Carbic acid, do they conflict with proteins?